In the book of Romans chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 4. The book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And when you have it, say amen. And if you don't have it, don't say anything. Book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible reads, so in the name of Jesus Christ. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The goodness of God leads you to repentance. This morning, I would like to speak to you on the subject, what to do with a good God. What do you do with a good God? Father, we come before you and we ask you that your mercies would be upon us, that we realize how good you have been to us. Allow me to be honest with the text, to bring it forth in a manner that is understandable. And give me, O God, the clarity of speech and your people the ability to understand, and not just to hear, but to appropriate what thus saith the Lord, to put it into practice. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. And as you're seated, turn to your neighbor and tell him, I absolutely love your hairdo this morning. Out of all the attributes of God, the goodness of God is the most mentioned attribute in all of Scripture. The goodness of God. God is good. Let's say that again. God is good. God is good in the good times. God is good in the bad times. Whether there is abundance or scarcity, God is good. At the birth of your child and at the death of your spouse, God is good. In times of happiness and in times of grief, God is still good. We praise our God because he is benevolent. We praise him because he is kind, he is merciful, he is giving, he is charitable, he is caring, he is patient. God is generous. He is slow to anger, but he is great in mercy. That's what the Bible means by the goodness of God. Anybody in this house thankful for the God who woke you up this morning? God is a good God. And the church acknowledges the goodness of God, both in song and in sayings. I can stand up here and tell you that God is good, and all the time, God is good. God doesn't just do good, God is good. His goodness is a natural virtue of his being, and so all that he does comes from his goodness, who he is. God is good, God is good, but God is so good that our text calls it the riches of his goodness. He's not cheap when it comes to goodness. He's not frugal when it comes to goodness. There are some people who are wealthy for a season, but God has immeasurable, unlimited amount of reserves of goodness stored up for us. He is wealthy in goodness, the richness of his goodness. God is so good that even the word by which we describe him in the English language, God, is a derivative of a German word meaning good. God is synonymous with good. How do I know that God is good this morning? Well, in the words of that Sunday school song, "For the Bible tells me so." The scripture continually affirms the goodness of God. Psalms 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Somebody this morning ought to shout, "God is good." Say it again, "God is good." Look at your neighbor and tell him, "God is good." Now, how do you think that the church, we as recipients of the goodness of God, should respond to his goodness? Well, thankfully, you don't have to guess at this. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to have a theological degree to figure it out, because the Bible plainly informs us how we ought to respond to the goodness of God. The Bible says there are two things that we ought to do. Over and over again, the Bible tells us this is how we respond to the goodness of God. Number one, it is praise. And number two, it is thanksgiving. See, Psalms 106:1 says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord." So praise and thanksgiving. Praise the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. Why, psalmist? For he is good. His mercy endures forever. Psalms 118:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. Psalms 136:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. Good. This is a public service announcement for all of our guests here this morning. Please forgive our noise. Please forgive our exuberance. Please forgive our passion. Please forgive our loud singing and our joyous praising and our fiery dancing and our constant hand clapping. Please excuse us if we get a little besides ourselves. I promise we're not crazy. We're not drunk. We're not drugged up. We're not mentally indisposed. We're not puffing on the magic dragon. We're not on the blessed ganja. We're not on 420. I promise you, that's not what's going on. It's just like the Lord of the song said, "He's been so good to me. I just can't tell it." I wish I had about two or three people in this house that know that God has been good to you. Woo! Bless the name of the Lord. When I woke up this morning, I woke up with a little song. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, "Hallelujah." Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the natural response to the goodness of God is a praise that is caused by thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving are the twin pillars often seen in scripture together to describe the proper reaction to the goodness of God. May I mess up your Sunday morning here for a bit? See, a mouth that has no praise is the direct result of a heart that has no thanksgiving. I'll say that again. A mouth that has no praise comes from a heart that has no thanksgiving. It is a heart that fails to acknowledge the goodness of the Lord in his or her life. Be careful with someone who claims to be a committed Christian, but doesn't organically praise the Lord, because it is unnatural to be thankful and not to feel the need to express it. It is unnatural to be thankful and not to feel like you need to. Listen, God's people don't praise the Lord out of obligation, out of duty, or because we're commanded in scripture, although that is a worthy reason to do it. We're full of praise, but our praise is not coerced. Our praise is not pushed. We are not, listen, we are praising him because praise is a natural expression of a thankful heart. When you realize that he brought you a mighty long way, when you realize that you should have been dead, when you realize that if it had not been but for the Lord who was on your side, when you realize that if the Lord don't build the house, they labor but in vain, they that build it. When you realize this, there ought to be a praise that resounds from your mouth. I need you to think about that for a second. Think about it. Thanksgiving says, baby, thank you so much for bringing me to Hawaii. But praise says, I'm amazed by your generosity. Thanksgiving says, honorable judge, thank you for reducing my fine. But praise says, you are such an understanding man. Thanksgiving said, sir, thank you for offering your seat. But the praise says, I see chivalry is not dead. You see, the organic expression of thanksgiving is praise. The organic expression of thanksgiving is praise. That's why when you acknowledge the goodness of God 1,000,000 times a day, the words thank you Jesus should come out of your mouth. Thank you Jesus for giving me a raise. Thank you Jesus, you've been a good God. Thank you Jesus for waking me up. Thank you Jesus for allowing me to graduate. We don't thank Mother Nature. We don't thank the universe. We don't thank Lady Luck. We thank our Father God for all good gifts, and all perfect gifts come from above. No wonder the psalmist said, enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? With praise. Be thankful unto him. That's thanksgiving. And bless his name. That's praise. Be thankful unto him. Thanksgiving. Bless his name. That's praise. Why? For the Lord is good. Woo! Bless the name of the Lord. Y'all got me way too excited. It is way too early in the morning to get this excited. To whom is God good? Well, at the broadest point, may I just say that God is good to the whole earth. Planet Earth is full. Listen, that's what Psalms 33 and 5 says. It says the whole earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. How is God good to planet Earth? Well, every time you see sunlight and clean air and water and food and oxygen and minerals and moonlight and wind and rain and resources, that's not Mother Nature. That is Father God. Your hands ought to go up and say, thank you, Jesus. The whole earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The whole earth is good, full of the goodness of the Lord. But to whom else is God good? Well, this morning, can I tell you that God is good to the animal kingdom? Even the animal kingdom is full of the goodness of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, his goodness is not limited to the earth and to humans, but God's goodness extends even to the animal kingdom. Psalm 149 and verse 5 says, the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all of his works are over all of his works. God is good to all. So God is good to the animals. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. I tell you, you've heard of birds die of a whole lot of stuff, but I promise you've never heard a bird die of hunger. Do you know why? Because your heavenly Father feeds them. That's the name of the Lord. I know there's a scientific reason for why the birds chirp. I realize that, but I choose to believe what my mom used to tell me early on Sunday mornings, that when the birds would chirp, they were chirping their praise unto the Lord, their thanksgiving unto the Lord, for God had provided for them. As a matter of fact, she taught us a little song in Spanish. If you know it, sing it along with me. Demos gracias al Señor, demos gracias por su amor. Por las mañanas las aves cantan las alabanzas a nuestro Salvador. You remember that? Y tu hermano, ¿por qué no cantas? You know what the song says? In the mornings, the birds are singing their praise unto God. So why don't you, my brother, open up your mouth and sing your praises unto my God? He's good, even to the animal kingdom. From the fowl of the air to the fish of the sea, to every creeping thing, a constant flow of God's goodness has been given to them. But can I just say this morning, to whom has God been good? God has not only been good to planet Earth. God has not only been good to the animal kingdom, but God is also good to believers. Those who have placed their trust in him. Those who are born again, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and water baptized. God has been good to you. As a matter of fact, God has an extra dose of goodness for those who have placed their faith in him. He lavishes his children with goodness. I wish we had time today to pass this mic around this place so that you would hear the testimonies of people who would shout here today, God has been good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God has been good. God has been good. We were created for that purpose. He brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we may proclaim the goodness of that God. As a matter of fact, wave your hand if God has healed you at one point. Wave your hand if God has delivered you at one point. Wave your hand if God delivered you from shame or from sin or from depression. How many's been delivered from depression? Wave your hand. How many's been delivered from drugs or gang banging or lying or loneliness? I'm telling you why. Because God has been good to us. His children can testify, God has been good. He lavishes us not just with physical and material blessings, but more importantly with spiritual blessings. God is good to his children. Psalm 34 and 10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, shall not lack any good thing. Psalms 37 and 25 says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Psalms 84 and verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I'm telling you, God has been good to his children. God has been good in that he has answered our prayers. Has he ever answered a prayer of yours? It's because God has been good. So he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. You see, if an earthly dad gives good gifts to his children, how much more, the Bible says, will God not give you good gifts to them who ask him? God is good in his plans for you. His will is good. His will is acceptable. His will is perfect. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God is good in his plans for you. But not only is he good in prayers and in his plans, God is also good in his providence. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. God is good in his providence. Even in bad days, God is good. Even in our trials, it's all working for the good, because God has been good to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. God has been good to us. Not only is he good in his plans and in his providence, but he's also good in his protection, his plans, his providence, and his, y'all, I stayed up till 4 a.m. doing that alliteration, plan, protection, and providence. My God, I love that. I'm gonna amen myself on that. God is good in his providence for you, because the Bible says in Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. He is a stronghold for those who trust in him. How many can testify here this morning that there have been times when anxiety has tried to get the best of you, but you ran unto the Lord, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous shall run into it, and they are saved. You ran to the stronghold, and he was your protector. Woo! Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Somebody shout, God is good. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen, we have finally arrived at the main point of my message. And that is this: that God is not only good to the earth, God is not only good to the animals, God is not only good to believers, his children, God is also good to unbelievers. Can you believe that? God is good to people who don't know him. God is good to people who reject him. God is good even to people who disbelieve in him. God is good to people who have walked away from the church. God is good to you. That's how good God is. You see, the goodness of God extends to all mankind, even the people who have rejected his kindness, even to the people who persist in their sin, even to those who are openly his enemies. God is still good to you. How do I know that? Because Matthew 5:45 tells me, Jesus speaking to his disciples on how they should love their enemies so that they may truly be the sons of their Father in heaven. He gives them an example of how God, in essence, also loves his enemies by making his Son rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He shines his Son even on unbelievers, even on people who are steadfast in proclaiming that he's not alive. Even to them, God is good. I love what the psalmist said in Psalms 25 and verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. He teaches sinners in the way. Why? Because good and upright is the Lord. And oh, I'm telling you, you who are visiting us, can I tell you, God is so good to you that even if you don't know him here today, he has given you direction and guidance along the way. That's what the Bible said. He teaches sinners in the way. That's how good he is to you. How many here, just remember, just go back a little bit. You don't even serve God, but you heard that little voice in the back of your head tell you, don't go there, don't hang out here, don't take this, please run, you're in danger. That's because God is good to you. God is good to you. As a matter of fact, God is so good to unbelievers that there are times that it almost causes believers to stumble over how good God is to unbelievers, as though God is better to unbelievers than he is to his own children. And sometimes it may seem that way. The writers in scriptures often remind us, they feel the need to remind believers not to envy the goodness of God in unbelievers. Psalm 37:1, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. Psalm 37:7, do not fret when people succeed in their ways and they carry out their wicked schemes. Job 21:7, why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power? God has been good even to those who spit in his face. That's how good our God is. Even the psalmist Asaph wrote in Psalm 73, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human life. You see, over and over again, the Bible lets us know that God's goodness is not limited to holy people or people whose lives are tidy and neat and perfect. God's goodness is not limited to people who have remained faithful in their Christian journey. God's goodness is not limited to people who attend church every Sunday. God's goodness is not limited to people who don't struggle with addiction, but God's goodness is extended even to those who feel far from him, to those who have traveled so far from the house of God that they don't even know where to start on their journey back. Even to you, God has been good to you. To those like the prodigal son, you've moved up to a faraway country, as far as away as you can get from your father's house. But even then, your father is still at home, waiting patiently for the day that you return, because God has been good to you. preaching today, you who will remember some of the Sunday school songs from your childhood, you who remember that it's been a long time since you've sang the songs of Zion, it has been so long since you felt his presence, it has been so long since you've lifted your hands in prayer, it has been so long since tears of thanksgiving ran down your cheeks, and you keep asking yourself, does God even care? Does God still love me? Does God even hear me? Well, I've got news for you. God has been good to you. I was speaking in the state of Illinois, and a pastor friend brought me to the side, and he told me, I've got a story to tell you. I was preaching something similar to this, and he said, I've got a story I've got to tell you. I've got a sister-in-law who abandoned home and abandoned her kids and husband and went out and started doing some hard stuff and is homeless, living in homeless shelters and stuff of that nature, left the church, left God, left her family, left everything, went after drugs. He said one revival we had, they live about an hour and a half away from Chicago. And he said one weekend revival we had with a guest evangelist from Louisiana. He came down and we had revival Thursday night, Friday night, and Sunday. Saturday was our day off. He said, so we went down to downtown Chicago and we did the tourist thing. So we looked at all the different stuff and the high risers. We went to the Bean. We got on the train. We did all the stuff and we had a great time. But that night, you know, I asked a question. Have you guys ever had authentic Chicago pizza? And they said, you know, we haven't. And so he said, well, we need to do that. Well, here's the problem. You know, Chicago pizza is pretty thick. And so they had been eating all day long. So they just went in there to just try it out because they needed the experience. Well, while they were there practicing the only sin that is allowed in Pentecostalism. Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all don't want to preach with me this morning. While they were there, they began to grub and they realized, wait, we are way too full to eat all this stuff. So what they did is they broke off a piece, they broke off a slice, and they cut that slice into four, and they each tried it. The pastor asked for a to-go box. So he got the box, and they decided that they still wanted to tour the city and laugh and go about. So that's what they did. But the pastor was resentful because, you know, this pizza is pretty heavy. And here he is carrying this box around everywhere, lugging the thing around. He said, you know, it just stopped being fun because all they wanted to do was laugh and carry on and take pictures. And here I was with this big old box just carrying it all. So he said, you know, I was done with it. So I told him, I said, listen, I'm done with this thing. I'm going to put it back. I'm going to throw it away. Does anybody want a piece? And they all agreed that, you know, he should probably throw it away. But the wife said, no, hon, please don't throw that away. Please leave this box of pizza on top of this trash can, and perhaps somebody can find it. Someone who is hungry. This is a pretty expensive, pie of pizza. Somebody can find it that is hungry. If not, fine. But maybe someone can find it. Well, he said, I don't give a care. I'm just going to put it anywhere as long as I'm not carrying it. So that's what he did. He put it on top of that trash. Several months later, after that revival, they were in their little prayer and. And his wife early in the morning told him, she said, hon, I feel as though we need to go out and find my sister. I don't know where she is. We haven't heard from her in years, but I feel as though we need to go out and try to find my sister. And he said, well, you know, where are we going to find her? We don't know where she is. We don't even know if she's alive, if she's dead. And she said, I know, but that's what I feel to do. Let's go. And so they got in the car and they went and they began to travel in their little town, in their city. They went about and they got all the way down to Chicago. And out there, they're going around all the homeless camps on the bridges. They're asking, they have pictures. Have you seen such and such? Do you know this girl? And nobody knows who she is. All the homeless said, we don't know who she is. To make a long story short, at the very end of the night, they asked a certain gentleman who said, I do think I know her. She comes to this camp and she stays right about there about this time at night. And so they waited. And sure enough, right about the time this man said, she showed up. When she showed up, they went about, they grabbed her. They lovingly dragged her into the car and they brought her down to a rehab center. They prayed for her. She didn't want to, but they prayed for her. She went into rehab, went into the process. She got cleaned up. She came back to her family. She came back to God. She left the drugs. She left sin, and God did an incredible work in her life. An incredible work in her life. But several months later, they were sitting in a small group and the facilitator was talking about this very topic, the goodness of God, how good God truly is. And as he was mentioning the goodness of God, he said, God is even good to unbelievers. God is good to unbelievers. And they all clapped. But then after a little while, she raised her hand and she said, I've got a little testimony. May I share? They said, sure. She said, well, my testimony is most of you can only proclaim this in theory that God is good to unbelievers. But I can tell you from experience that God has been good to me. She said, there were many times where I was on the point of death, even while I was far away from him. But God was good to me. And she said, well, all I can remember is one day I was in downtown Chicago. I had not eaten in 3 days. She said the drugs had gotten the best of me. And all I wanted to eat so badly. But every time someone will give me a little money, my need for drugs prevailed over my need for food. And she said, I was so hungry. I thought I was going to die. I was hallucinating and I was almost dead. She said, I was sitting on the curb on that cold night, and she said, for the first time since I left my house and left my God, she said, I sat there and cried and raised my hands and I said, oh God, I know I'm far from you, but could you please not let me die out on this cold street? Could you please place somebody here to give me a little food? I'm dying. She said, lo and behold, you wouldn't guess it, but I got up right after that, and I didn't even know what else to do but to go search in the trash can. And she said, when I went, right on top of that trash can was a little box of pizza. And she said, these dumb people, they left a whole pie and they just ate a little slice and it was warm. She said, you don't know, I ate the whole pie of pizza. Can I tell you, here in this house, that wasn't the universe. God heard the voice of a crying sister, and he was good even to unbelievers. Remain standing, remain standing. Oh, my dear friend, there is no doubt in my mind that God has been good to you. But please hear the words of this preacher. The goodness of God to you is not intended to encourage you to continue in your sin.
The goodness of God is not meant to make you comfortable in your daily walk as though God has forgotten the fact that you're walking far from Him. But to the contrary, God makes known His kindness to you so that He may kill your sin, so that He may save your soul, so that by His tender mercy, He may win your heart back to Him. Oh, my friend who is here today, hear the voice of this preacher. The fact that you are far from God, but you're still prospering, is overwhelming evidence of the goodness of God to you. But please understand, God's intention in your prosperity, it is not so that you continue going. It is not so that you say, well, what's the point? My business is growing. My life is going. My marriage is strong. My family is beautiful. That's not the point. He doesn't prosper you so that you wallow in your own accomplishment. He doesn't prosper you so that you remain comfortable in your current journey. The goodness of God is leading you to repentance. I pray in this house right now, somebody help me intercede right now. There's lives in the balance even as I speak right now. But I pray under the power of the Holy Ghost in this moment that if you're at the sound of my voice, you who have strayed far from the kingdom of God, you who have strayed far from the fellowship of the saints, you who have strayed from the love and kindness of the church, I pray even in this moment that God would be so kind that He would whisper in your ear, come home. Come home. Come home. You who are dedicated to God, you who have experienced His Holy Ghost, you who have been baptized in His name, you who heard the songs of Zion from your youth, you who have heard the crying prayers of a mother and a grandmother and a father outside of your room interceding on your behalf, come home. God has been so good to you. Come home. I would open this altar up. I wonder if people would gather around this altar here this morning and would say, come on, take me, Jesus. I'm home. I'm coming back home. I'm coming back home. You've been good. I wonder if we can fill this place with repentant hearts that would say, I'm here. I'm home. I should have never left your side. Return me to your guiding light. I'm running back to you. I'm running back to you. Come on, come home. Come home. Come home. God has been so good. Come home. Come home. Come home.
Your good, good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Your good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all. It's who you are. It's who you are.
building right now, would you gather up, huddle up with three or four folks around you right now? We all know Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good. Don't know where your path has been. Don't know what has befallen you. I don't know what has beset you. I don't know what you've come against. But I believe in the midst of it all, a good God is working all things together for good. Would you pray for those around you right now? I mean, really pray. Don't just mouth a prayer, but open up your heart with thanksgiving and praise right now. And elevate the mighty name of Jesus over the situations around you. You can take even this, God. You can take this, Lord, and transform it to good. You can work this out, God. You can take this pain. You can take this complication. You can take this confusion. You can take this misery, this sickness, oh God. And you can work it for good, Lord. You're a good God, and I praise you in the midst of it, oh Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, even here, even now, I bless you, Lord. You give, you take away, but blessed be the name of our good God, oh Lord. I honor you, God, right now in this house, in this place, oh Lord. I give glory, I find no fault in you, oh God. You are altogether lovely, the fairest of 10,000. Oh God, you've been good, mighty, mighty good, Lord. Oh! you know that's going to be one of the joys of heaven? That a forgotten takeaway box, some act of kindness that you did that you never knew the results of, some sacrifice you made, tiny or small. When we get up there and understand it better by and by, you see that it was the goodness of God that made provision for someone. How many of you, in a figurative sense, you found that pizza box one day and God came through for you just in time? Oh, praise God. If we've got a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, why don't we tell our mouths about it right now and let's lift up some praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this building. Hallelujah. I thank you and I bless your name, oh God. I bless your name, oh Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. We never let a Sunday morning service get by. If there's somebody in this room, you're ready to take your next step in God. If you've never been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus, we're ready for you. Right over here, listen, those waving his hand, just follow to my right, your left. We have everything you need to be baptized. God bless you as you take that next step. Can everybody say amen to that? And then in just a few moments, a countdown will appear on the screen, and that is the countdown for first steps. Step three today, just out the doors to your right. And there'll be people to greet you there. But in the meanwhile, get around one to another. Get around to Brother Diaz and tell him how much you appreciate him. He'll be ministering tonight, 6 o'clock. Get around one to another and may God be with you and go with you during this time.